Amen. 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 So a warm good afternoon to you, IBC. Yeah, it's pretty warm here. It's not just warm from the heart, but also the weather, right? Amen. Yes, so my name is Henry, for those who are new today or for those who don't already know me. And I'm an elder here, and by God's grace, I'll be bringing his word today. So I'd just like us to just say a short word of prayer before we go on. Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. It's bright and sunny. We love it. Thank you, oh God, for bringing us to church. Thank you for what you're already doing here through the music, through the fellowship and the communication and fellowship we've been having with one another here. Abba God, I just pray now that, Lord, you will just speak to us yourself. Of course, I prepared something through your help here, but I pray that you also help me to bring it out to your people. I pray that you open hearts to receive your word. And I pray that, Lord, you would also just count me worthy to be used to bring forth this word today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, about 6 weeks ago, I preached on this sermon, the first part of this sermon, kingdom-centered prayers. And I said that it was the key to a vibrant prayer life. Praying kingdom-centered prayers will improve the liveliness of our prayer lives. And today, I want to continue with that sermon. So actually, that sermon, we focused on Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 13. And we just focused on the first three verses in that scripture where Jesus was teaching about how not to pray. Today, we will be moving on to talk about the remaining verses where Jesus actually gave us a pattern or a model for prayer. Just by way of just bringing us up to speed again, I did mention, and for the cross of the message last time, was that prayer is more than a time for us to inform God of our personal needs. Yeah? And I'm very deliberate with the choice of my words here, that prayer is more than a time. It's not just a time to inform God about our personal needs or to ask him to solve our personal problems, life problems that are too difficult for us to handle, right? That we don't have any solution for. I said that if, for many of us, if this is all what prayer is, you will find out that for many people, when they are not in a situation that they are helpless in, there will be no need to pray. Yeah, there will be no need to pray if they can handle all the challenges they have. So God is out of the picture, but we know that this is not what prayer is about. Prayer is much more than that. And I also argue that if our concept of prayer was just that an opportunity to inform God, tell God about our problem, then our prayer lives will be very weak or non-existent. And not only that, our spiritual lives will be ineffective and very shallow, because prayer is one of the foundation of spiritual growth. There is no spiritual growth without a vibrant life of prayer. So, I encourage us to go back to the IBC webpage. The sermon is there, or you go to the IBC YouTube page, the sermon is there. I don't know if we are aware that actually in the IBC YouTube page, there is an IBC webpage. You can also access just the audio, you know. So for those of us who commute, you can actually take advantage of the messages and just go on the audio while you're traveling, while you're moving in the train, and just refresh yourself with the word instead of just scrolling down your phone as we typically do. Amen. All right. So I'd like to read from this passage again before we move on to what we have today. So in Matthew 6, 5, it says, "And when you pray," Jesus was speaking here, "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Let's go on. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen." Now, I will just go quickly because we don't have a lot of time. I have divided today's sermon into three different parts that I will hopefully go through. The first thing I want to deliberate on today is the relational nature of kingdom-centered prayers. And secondly, we'll look at the intercessory nature of kingdom-centered prayers. And we will end by looking at the elements of kingdom-centered prayers. Right, so let's go into the first one. The first thing that struck me, when I was preparing for this sermon is the very first phrase that Jesus used in the model of prayer that he presented to us, what we popularly call the Lord's Prayer. The first line says, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. Is it not striking to you that Jesus did not first say, "Majestic God, Almighty God, Creator of the universe, the all-powerful God," and all these other wonderful names of God? He starts this model of prayer by introducing God as our Father. That I cannot easily get over, right? Because I think Jesus was saying that when we come to him, he wanted us to recognize the fact that when we pray, you are talking to your Father. Yes, of course, he's the Creator God, as we know him to be. He's this mighty God that does mighty to create this vast universe and who runs the show on earth. But this, he's not just that. He is your Father. He's your Father. And what that means is that we can enter into his presence anytime and anyhow. For those of us who have good fathers, I want us to reflect a little bit. Who grew up having good fathers. Even if you don't have good father, if you didn't have a very great father, you have the picture. Everyone knows what a good father should look like, right? So keep that in mind. Jesus is saying that he's your Father, so you can come into his presence anytime and anyhow. There is no special ritual for coming into his presence. I don't need to take my bath first or wash my hands and my legs. I don't need to brush my teeth first before I come into his presence, right? I don't even need to be perfect first before I come into his presence. He is my Father. Just the way my kids will interrupt me, and just barge into my room without invitation. That's how you can barge into God. He is your Father. For me, when I think of the term, the phrase, our Father, I think of empathy, okay? Meaning that God understands my frame. He knows me, my capacity. He knows that I am weak. He knows my weaknesses. And the fact that I would not always get it right. Just like for me and my kids, I know them also, right? But I still connect with them. It reminds me that I am safe in his hands. When I think of the phrase, my Father, it means I'm safe in his hands. He's not looking for the next opportunity to harass me or to punish me. He is my Father, right? My Father reminds me of the fact that I can discuss anything with him. There is no limit to what I can ask him because he's my father, right? I can cry in his presence, yeah? I can pour out my frustrations to him. He is my father. He's not just this great God, he's my father. My father reminds me also that the phrase my father also reminds me that I need to also concern myself about his business. Every sensible kid is grown enough, old enough, does not just concern themselves about their own needs. They also think about what Papa needs sometimes. Right? It reminds me that I should also care about what he cares about. Yeah? But the thing is, he's not just my father. He's also my father in heaven. That takes it, you know, many levels higher than what we naturally will understand. Right? It means that because he's my father in heaven, it means that he's also holy, set apart, that I don't have to take him for granted or consider his gentleness as a license to live anyhow, to live a sinful life. So like I said before, I know that everyone here, without doubt, has a picture of what a good dad should look like. Everyone, whether you had one or not, we all do. That's how the human mind works. Right? If you put that picture, God is above that picture of an ideal God, ideal dad that you have. He's much more above it. Amen. So the point I want to make here is that kingdom-centered prayer, so be able to pray the kind of prayers that would really move the heart of God, that God wants us to pray, you need to see yourself when you come into his presence that you are approaching your father, not just this great big God there that you need to do some rituals to come before. Amen. Amen. The second thing that strikes me is the intercessory nature of kingdom-centered prayers. Jesus always used in these prayers, he used a plural form there. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Remember, in the first few verses, he had already told us that we should, when we want to pray, we should do what? Go into your secret to pray, right? So it's supposed to be something personal. He was teaching them how to pray for themselves. To pray personal prayer. This was not corporate prayer he was talking about, because otherwise he would not say, go into the secret place. But right now, he goes on telling them how to pray. He's using only the plural. He could have well said, my Father in heaven, give me today my daily bread. But why did he choose the word "our"? I think that speaks something to me. I think this is Jesus' way of telling us that prayer is not just about you only. It's not just about you as an individual. Don't just pray for God to make provisions for your need. Pray on the behalf of your fellow brother and sister. That's what Jesus is saying. If you have no problem, thank God for that. But pray for your brother or your sister that has problems. That's what he's saying. It's not just about you. It's not just about you as an individual. It's "our". If God is my father, and God is your father, and God is the father of the person sitting next to you, then that person sitting next to you is your brother and is your sister. And you owe them a duty to pray for them. Just like we owe our siblings some responsibility. We pray for them, we love them, we care about them too. These are our siblings, so we should pray for them. Kingdom-centered prayers are far from being selfish. Amen. Amen. So I want to challenge you today to be deliberate and consciously pray for those within your sphere of influence. Begin with your immediate family, of course. Pray for them. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your colleagues. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the government. Pray for IBC, pray for your pastor, pray for your leaders. It's not just about you. It's not just about you. Stop being selfish in your prayers. And just in case you think that I'm trying to make this up, I'd like to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. See, I urge you, first of all, do what? Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and for all who are in authority, so that you can live peacefully, peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and integrity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Amen. Who wants everyone to be saved and brought to understand the truth. So I'm not just making this up, right? It's right there, crystal clear. Beloved of God, intercessory prayers is not exclusive for IBC prayer warriors. It is for all of us. Thank God for those brothers and sisters who go the extra mile to pray for us. But let's take it as something that God has given to every one of us to do. Amen. Now let me move on quickly to the third subtopic here, the elements of kingdom-centered prayers. Now, there are six elements, or if you like, six prayer requests in this prayer model or the Lord's Prayer. And each one of them reveals very powerfully, I think, the heartbeat of God, what God wants us to pray for, what Jesus wants us to pray for. I want to emphasize, though, that I don't think Jesus is saying that every time you come to pray, you should pray all six types of prayers. Of course, there are more types of prayers. Or to go through them like some ritual, then the relational aspect of prayer is lost. Okay? And I believe the relational aspect of prayer is lost. But I want to present them today because I believe they show to us that there is so much more to pray for than your personal needs. I want to go through the list, hopefully, if time allows. Because I want to show to us that there is so much more to pray for than your personal needs. So the first one is worship and thanksgiving. Worship and thanksgiving. First line of the prayer says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." Why is it worship? When Jesus said that, why is worship a kind of prayer? Why is it worship? It's because when we say, hallowed be your name, we're saying, God, you are set apart. You are holy. You are God all by yourself. There's no other person like you. You are different from every other God or person. We are saying that we recognize that God is God all by himself. He has no rival or equal. He's the creator of the universe. And all the beautiful things that we see around us. Yes, he's the creator. He is the perfect and just God. He's our savior. He's a merciful and gracious God. He knows the end from the beginning. When we come before God in prayer, we don't just present our needs. We need to affirm who he is. We need to confirm that he is these things. That's what Jesus is saying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Amen. Prayer is also an opportunity to thank God for his goodness for us. Hallowed be your name, because I am sitting here today, I'm not on the hospital bed. Hallowed be your name because you give me strength to carry out my daily duties. Hallowed be your name because I know you are the source of every good and perfect gift. James 1. 16 to 17 says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows." Do you have anything good that you cherish? It came from God. Amen. The earth and everything that is in it belongs to God, Scripture says. So prayer is much more than an opportunity to ask him for another good thing. It is an opportunity to reflect on his greatness. When you come into his presence, you pause and you reflect on how great he is. And you thank him for all the good things that he has also done for you. And if you don't know how to do this, if you don't know how to exalt the name of God and hallow his name in your prayers, you can open the Psalms. There are many prayers in the Psalms that give us the language to use And I can recommend Psalms 103 and Psalm 136. They're great examples of scriptures that show us how we can hallow the name of God. Amen. For the sake of time, I'll move on to the second one. Intercession. Your kingdom come. I've already said this before. And it's not just about us. The kingdom of God refers to the rule of God in the hearts of men and in the nations. The kingdom of God refers to God's rule, God's rulership in our hearts. It is therefore, when we come before God, we do have an opportunity to ask God to make himself known to those who do not already know him, in whose hearts he is not ruling. Prayer offers us that chance. So let me ask you, brother, sister, when last did you pray for the salvation of somebody? When last did you pray for God to reveal himself to somebody who is an unbeliever, whom you know, and we know many of them? This is God's heartbeat. Why not partner with God? Why not partner with God to make this happen? So I challenge you that the next time you don't know what to pray for, or you don't have anything to pray for, because it's all good for you. Thank God. And it should be like that. Use that time, not just to thank him for the good things that he has done for you, but to ask him for the salvation of that sinner that you know. Amen. Your kingdom come also tells us that the kingdom of God wants his kingdom to also reign in the nations, not just in the heart of men. So we can pray that God would take over the rule of the nations. We rule in our broken world. And even in this season, we know that the world is really broken. So much evil and destruction going on. That God will overturn the rule of the wicked. Wicked and hostile governments all around the world. Don't complain and just whine about all the bad things that are happening. About anti-government, anti-God government policies. Don't just complain. Let's not just complain about them. Let's use our time to prayer, our time in prayer. When you wake up in the morning, you just want to say those words to God. Don't just be in a hurry to leave. Pray for the nations. Pray that God will establish his kingdom in the hearts of men and in the nations. Amen. The next dimension of prayer, I think, is consecration. Matthew 6 says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, we all have plans and desires. And of course, prayer gives us an opportunity to bring them before God and to ask for his blessings. Right? That's what we do. That's the most common form of prayer. God, I want to do this. Bless it. These are my plans. Bless my plans. But much more than that, I want to say that prayer is an opportunity to surrender our plans to him and to surrender our wills to him. Jesus gave us a pattern for this in Luke 24:42. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus had a clear will. This cup is too heavy for me to bear. Let it go. I can't do it. But nevertheless, let your will be done. So I have my plans, God. I want you to bless these plans. I'd love for you to bless these plans. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Jesus' prayer here is the ultimate prayer of consecration. Surrendering his will fully to God the Father, to the Father's plan. People of God, in your case, God's will for you may just be to accept and obey the foolishness of his word. His word may appear very foolish, doesn't line up with your smart logic. But prayer gives us an opportunity to submit that to God. It gives us an opportunity to forgive our parents who hurt us so badly when we were young. Right? Even though they do not deserve it. God, it's your will that I forgive. They don't deserve it. This is not my will. I submit to you. Prayer gives you the opportunity to submit to your husband and to your wife that does not deserve it. They don't deserve your love. But in the place of prayer, we bring these difficult issues before God and say, God, by my own self, I don't want to do this. I don't deserve it. But I submit. I submit. We don't just come in, drop in our shopping list and run off. It's time to say to the Lord, I'm struggling in this area or in that area. Please help me take over completely. Take over my life completely. Give me grace to live for you. I consecrate my life to you. Amen. The next one is petitions. I'm not going to say much here because this is what we all know how to do very well. So for the sake of time, I will just leave it, right? Because it's the time where we tell God about all our emotional and physical needs and provisions. I think the thing that I would just say here is it is remarkable that Jesus actually includes that. That tells me that he does care. Let me leave it there. The next one is confession. I'm just moving because of time. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Prayer time is a time to come before God in repentance. When we sin, we don't run away like Adam. We come before God and we ask for his mercy. And he will forgive us, he says. It is a time for us to reflect on how we have treated others. Have I treated this person well? Have I treated my spouse, my kids? Have I put up some ungodly attitude at work? Have I done something that is displeasing to God? God, please forgive me. It's a time to do that. And it's a time to extend forgiveness, like Jesus said, to those who have sinned against us. Interestingly, Jesus said, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Actually, he wants you to even forgive them before you come. You should have forgiven them already. So in case you have not done that, it's an opportunity to do that. And finally, preservation and protection. Prayer also gives us an opportunity to ask God to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Of course, in 1 Peter 5:8, Scripture says that the devil is going up and down looking for who to destroy. It's not just our physical body that he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our relationship with God. That is the thing that is more important to him. So we come before God in the time of prayer and ask him to keep us from falling. One of my favorite prayers is in the book of Jude. Say, unto you who is able to keep me from falling. So God, please keep me from falling. It's a time to ask God to just help us to leave, you know, not to take steps that lead us into sin. Yeah? One of my favorite prayers also is to say, God, you know me, I'm not strong. Don't allow me to consciously or unconsciously walk into situations where I cannot resist sin. I pray that always because I'm not sure of myself. Amen. So I'll just end here and say, let us go back home today. That's the final slide. And ask the Lord, incorporate worship and thanksgiving into your prayer. Incorporate intercession, consecration, petitioning, confession and repentance and prayer for perseverance or preservation and for protection into your prayers. I want to encourage us to do that. Prayer is not just about our physical needs. It involves all these things and much more. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, you know that for many of us it's difficult to pray. We are so busy, so easily distracted. And we don't fully understand the blessedness of just staying in the place of prayer. I pray that, God, you will help our infirmity, our inabilities to pray, like you promise in your word. and teach us to pray. Create in us an urge, a desire to pray beyond just bringing our physical needs. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.